Today being the fifth day of July 2026, we're going to look at the second part of this lesson we started last Sunday morning, God's saving and enabling grace. And last Sunday, we looked at several things in this lesson, and I want to just briefly go through them. We looked at God's sufficient grace for salvation. We studied over that last week. We looked here how that Peter illustrated God's grace to the people. We looked how that Peter explained the miracle of God's amazing grace to the people. We studied over how that Peter offered to the people the gift of God's amazing grace. And then today, we're going to look at how the people react, how they reacted to God's marvelous grace in Acts chapter number 4. So today, as we begin in this lesson, I want us to look at this, and I want you to see God's enabling grace, His saving grace and His enabling grace. Today, in Acts chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And as they spake," and I want you to notice here, as they spake the word of God, several things happened. In verses 1 and 2, Luke writes here some things, how that the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now I want you to remember something just a moment. Last week when we looked at this, thousands of people had heard the message that Peter preached, and they accepted Christ as their own personal Savior. And boy, you know what? As God blessed, it made the devil mad. We've seen that in our own nation, have we not? When God blesses, the devil tries to stir things up. But listen to me, folks. Even when the devil is trying to stir things up, God is still at work. And I want you to see here today, the devil did not like all those people coming to know Christ as their Savior. The devil did not like them preaching the message of the gospel in Jesus' name. The devil doesn't like that. And the devil doesn't want that going on today. But folks, it doesn't matter what the devil wants. God's got a plan. Amen? And God wanted to fulfill that plan beginning right here in Jerusalem, just as He spoke about it in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Now, God said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And if you'll remember, Peter was the one that denied Christ. How many times? Three times. And Jesus asked him in John chapter 20, in John chapter 21, He asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" And how many times did He ask Peter that? Three times. Once for every time he denied Christ. And each time, Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to Peter, He said, "Then feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Let folks know what God has done for them." And that's what God enabled Peter to do. And now this lame man has been made whole. And people are watching this, and people are coming to know Christ as their Savior. And the devil creeps up his stinking old head. And here in verses 1 and 2, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now let me ask you something. If somebody is right with God, which they claimed to be, these Sadducees and these priests and all claim to be right with God, why would they be grieved that these men preached in the name of Jesus? It's because they were not right with God. They hated the Lord Jesus. And Peter had reminded them of all that back in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 3. And if you'll look here now in Acts chapter 4, verse number 3, the Bible said they were not only grieved, but they were upset with them. And the Bible said, "And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." Boy, they threw them in jail. And they put them where they thought that they could not get out. The devil wants to hinder the work of Christ. Now, let me tell you something. Thursday night was a hot night. I think at 5, about 20 minutes till 6, I went and got the chicken. We had fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, King's Hawaiian rolls. We had dessert. Man, it was a great dinner for the soul winners going out. And as I came back, I happened to look at the thermometer on my car, and it was listing there 105 degrees. 105 degrees. And you know what the first thing is that goes through my mind like that? It's not just hot, but it makes me glad I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. It sure makes me glad I'm going to heaven when I die. Brother Dave went out, what was it? Was it in Manchester, right? Manchester. They went out to the carnival out there. And how many was it you had? 12? 12 teenage boys came to know Jesus as their Savior. Even when the temperatures were above 100 degrees, man, they still saw 12 young men come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, you know what? Everybody looks at the weather and says, man, it's hot. Man, we can't go and do anything. Boy, the devil is hot. You know, these guys are looking at this. Man, the Sadducees are mad. The priests are mad. The captain of the temple put their hands on us. They're throwing us in jail. But God had a plan. And that plan was to let the people know about the Lord Jesus. So when all seemed lost, look at this. The Bible said when the devil reared up his old head, verse number 4, the Bible says, even though they threw the disciples in jail, until the next day, verse 4 says, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. You know what they did? They preached the word of God. And you know what? Sometimes we go out, we go soul winning, we try to give out a gospel tract here and there and try to tell folks about Christ, and it seemed like, boy, the devil is just fighting everything. But the word of God, you cannot plant the word of God in vain. God will bless his word. And that's what happened right here. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men, of just the men, not counting the women, not counting the children that were with them with the families, the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000. So we've seen 3,000 get saved. Now we've seen another 5,000 plus get saved. And now I want you to understand that God is still faithful to his word. Amen. Don't ever think that God will not be faithful to his word, because he is faithful. And here we see that while many again rejected the word of God, several of them rejected it. They didn't want to hear it. And it was the religious crowd, okay, that didn't want to hear it. The other night, we had some folks, some of our soul winners, went to a house and was talking to a lady about Christ. And her husband comes to the door, religious, okay, in a local denomination, and told them, get right down into it, man, trying to tell her about how to be saved. And he comes to the door and says, you're trespassing. If you don't get off my property, I'm going to call the police. Now, you know what? The devil does not like the word of God getting out. He doesn't like that. But you know what? Listen, you go on, you go to the next door somewhere, and folks will listen, and they'll trust Christ as their Savior, and folks will get saved. No matter what you do with the word of God, sometimes people are going to turn it away. But there's always those that will listen and take heed and accept Christ as their Savior. And this religious crowd who had stood up against Jesus, and they had rejected the Lord, and they had coaxed the people to have Jesus crucified and set Barabbas, the murderer, the criminal, set him free. Now these folks came, and they took the disciples, and they put them away in jail. And while the Sadducees were so worried about losing their temporary religious rule over all the people, I want you to think about this. They never took time to think about their eternal losses in heaven. They were more concerned about losing power among the people, and they never thought about losing heaven. Can you think about that just a moment? The Bible talks about this in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. The Bible said Jesus reminded the people, and he said, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Then he asked this question. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Folks, there is nothing worth losing your soul for. Nothing. No amount of money, no amount of fame, no possession, no position, nothing in this world worth losing a person's soul for. And Jesus tried to remind them of that. And folks, I'm here today to tell you that while the devil fights, God was still blessing with folks hearing the message, hearing the gospel message, and they believed on it, and thousands were saved. Thank God for His wonderful, amazing grace. Amen? Amen? Now, I want you to look at now, in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 5, I want you to see not only God's saving grace, but I want you to see God's enabling grace. You know what? God's enabling grace is what you and I today need. We've accepted His saving grace. We've accepted Him as our Savior. If you know Christ as your Savior today, you've been born into the family of God. You are His child for how long? For how long? You mean if you go out here and get mad and throw a brick at your wife's car or something like that, you're still saved? If you got saved, you're still saved. You might not be saved from her, but you're saved from hell. Amen? All right? But here's the thing. Listen to me. It is God's enabling grace that gives us power to stand boldly for Him in time of persecution. Listen, when the devil fights against you and he is trying to hinder you from doing what you know you ought to do for God, it's God's enabling grace that we must seek after. We've got to seek after His enabling grace. Look at this just a moment. In verses 5 through 12, we see how the apostles were able to witness through God's enabling grace. Now, I want you to think about this. They've been thrown in jail. The Sadducees, the priests, the captain of the temple, all these religious folks hate them for preaching the gospel. They hate them for talking about Jesus. So what happens when they bring them out? Well, let's look at it. Verse number 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. There's a whole crowd of opposers of the gospel there. They're going to come in by number and show these disciples, buddy, how wrong they are. All right, let's read on. The Bible said, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? So they're wanting to find out, who gave you the right to come in here and tell these people about Jesus? That's what they're asking. Same question the world is asking us today. Who gives you the right to come out here? come knock on my door and tell me that I'm a sinner, I'm on my way to hell and I need a Savior. Who's given you that right? Who gave you that power? Who gave you that authority? Well, you remember when Peter was asked, are you one of his disciples? What did he do? He turned away and said, no, I don't know him. And he denied him three times. But now, when we look at this, we see not only God's saving grace in his life, but now we see God's enabling grace to give him power and boldness to speak the word of God clearly and plainly so that everybody understood it. More than 8,000 people so far that we know of were saved already, trusted Christ as their Savior. Now Peter is asked, why have you done this? By what power? By what name have you done this? Well, you asked, so Peter is going to tell him. And look what the Bible said. The Bible said here in verses 5 through 12, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, boy, he was specific about that, wasn't he? He wanted them to know. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Man, Peter got into this, did he not? He wanted them to know exactly. They asked, he told, amen. Then in verse 11, Peter quotes to these religious crowds the psalmist David. You can go back to Psalm chapter 118, verse 22, and see this, where Peter said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And then he reminded them again in front of all the people that were there. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, the grace that had saved Peter was now the same grace that enabled Peter to stand bold, to stand and give the message of the Word of God in plain, clear language that everyone could understand. And here in these verses, Peter boldly declared unto them that it was not religion that they needed. Listen, it's not being a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Muslim or Jehovah Witness or whatever else. Religion will not get you to heaven. If religion could get us to heaven, there had been no reason for Jesus to ever come to this earth and suffer and bleed and die upon the cross, be buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, and rise again to give us eternal life. God had just said, you just be religious. But it's more than religion, folks. It's relationship. And the only way that we can have a relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at what it said, verses 13 through 22. We see here the apostles answer by God's enabling grace. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and let me stop right there just a minute, because in these previous verses, the Bible said that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. You see all this garbage on TV today. When people are filled with the Holy Ghost and they start shaking all over and they start talking in some unknown language, they fall down on the ground and roll around, you know, crazy and cackle like a chicken or something. That is not what happened here. Being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost of God gave boldness to speak the word of God. And you see that here in verse 13. These people saw the boldness, the enabling grace of God to speak boldly the word of God. That's what you and I have to have. Many times we say, oh, I'd take the soul winning class, but I can't tell anybody. I can't speak to anybody. If you will just allow the Holy Spirit of God to empower you and enable you, you can claim that verse which says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And folks, that's what God wants. He wants us to be enabled, not just saved by His wonderful grace, but He wants us to be empowered, enabled by that same grace. And look what the Bible said. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they were just fishermen. They hadn't been to their colleges. They hadn't been to their universities and their teachings. But they noticed there was something different about them. What was different about these men? They saw that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they marveled and they took knowledge of them. Why? That they had been with Jesus. Now I want you to think about that just a minute. I want folks, when they look at my life, to know that I've been with Jesus. It doesn't matter what schooling you get. We got so many folks that's got schooling up here and no empowerment down here. It's pitiful. It's shameful. They got degrees hanging off the wall. Every degree you can think of. You could call them Dr. Thermometer, okay? And it wouldn't mean a thing to them. Folks, what we need is the power of God to be witnesses unto Him. And these men took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I want you to notice some things. Number one, these religious rulers could not deny the power of God upon these men. They could not deny. They saw, they knew, and they observed. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And now, verse 14, they took note about that. And we see how God now continued to work in their lives to give them an opportunity to choose. Why did God enable Peter to speak these words? So that these people could have the opportunity to either choose to accept Christ or choose to reject Christ. God always gives the choice, folks. And every one of us have to make a choice. I'm so glad that as a 15-year-old boy, I chose to accept Christ as my Savior. Amen? Aren't you glad that you chose to accept Christ as your Savior? Amen. These people now had a choice. But sadly, in verse number 17, they again chose to reject the message of God's saving grace by threatening the apostles. And in verse 18, they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And in response to their threats, look at this, verses 19 and 20. The Bible said, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. And look at this in verses 21 and 22. Luke writes, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. What do you mean because of the people? Over 5,000 men had trusted Christ as their Savior. And that's not including the women and the children. There may have been as many as 20,000 people or more there that had accepted Christ, listened to the message that these men had preached. And now this small crowd of opposition was afraid. And the Bible said, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man, now remember, the man that was standing with them, the impotent man, the man that had been laid at the gate beautiful for more than 40 years, begging alms. Why? Because he couldn't walk. He's standing, leaping, praising God. He had been in jail with them over the night. And he's standing there in front of them, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So let me ask you, what would you have done if you had been threatened like that? What would you have done when they had told you, you can't preach anymore, you can't tell anymore about Jesus, you can't tell anybody else about Jesus? What would you have done? Would you have run? Boy, sometimes we get scared, don't we? But God's enabling grace helped these men to stand true. And they all knew. So that now, these folks, even though they rejected Christ, one day when they stand before God, they cannot stand and say, I did not know. And folks, this is why you and I have to be found faithful today. There are people going to stand before God, and they're going to be cast into hell because the Lord God is going to look at them and say, depart from me in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me, for I never knew you. And I can imagine in my mind seeing them yelling and screaming, but nobody ever told me. And God stops them and says, wait a minute. Let me play back the memories for you here just a moment. When those soul winners were out on the street corner down here and you mocked them, you cussed at them, you called them all kinds of names, and you took their gospel tract, tore it up, spit on it, threw it on the ground, and stomped on it. They tried to tell you, and you rejected my son. You rejected my... Can you imagine that day when we see those folks cast into the lake of fire forever and forever? Why? Because they chose to reject Christ as their Savior. It wasn't that they had not heard. It's the fact that they chose to reject Christ. Folks, this is what makes your job as a Christian and my job as a Christian so important in this world. Whether folks accept Christ or they reject Christ, they still need to know what Jesus has done for them. They're going to stand accountable one day. And you know what? When you plant that seed of the Word of God, things are going to happen. The Spirit of God will speak to their heart. He will convict them of their sin. And he will show them their need to be saved. But they still have to make a choice. But they need somebody to tell them. Now I want you to look at this in verses 23 through 30. How these early church believers prayed for God's enabling grace. They had been threatened. They had been told they can't do this. They had been told, don't mention that name of Jesus anymore. So they too had to make a choice. And what did they choose to do? They chose to take their burden to the Lord and leave it there. Amen? Look at it with me. Beginning in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. They went back to where all the other disciples were. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. When these men went back to their crowd, they came together not to oppose the opposition, not to wave banners in their face and all this other stuff. They took it to the Lord. And what did they do? They asked God for power, enabling power and boldness to do what? That with all boldness they may speak thy word. Folks, we will never be the witnesses for Christ that we ought to be until we ask the Lord for his enabling grace and power. We got to seek after it. Now I want to ask you today, how does their response then compare with your response today? How does their response compare with our response when persecution comes our way? And when we're told we can't mention the name of Jesus anymore. And when we're told we can't give out gospel tracts. Most Christians today, they just simply quit. Because they're not looking for the power from on high to do the job that God has saved them to do. Folks, I want God's power in my life. I want you to have God's power in your life. Why? That you might be able to speak boldly his word and share it with folks that need to hear it. Listen, if we don't tell folks about the gospel, let me ask you, who will? Who's going to? Who's going to tell them about Christ? Who's going to let them know? I want you to notice here in verses 31 through 37 how that God is indeed faithful to give his enabling grace to those who humbly pray and ask for it. Not for a show. God's not wanting us to put on a big show. No. He wants us to humbly beg for his power. And look what happened, verse 31. First, we read that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God, how? With boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. You see, that's what God wants for you and me. It's not just for those disciples there 2,000 years ago. It's for you and for me today. God wants us to have that power. But notice that not only did God give them that power, but God, look at what he said here in verses 34 and 35. I just got to read it to you. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Now you think about this just a minute. When you do what God says do, God always provides for what you need. He always provides. I've heard folks say, well, I just can't do this, man. I can't give my heart to Christ. I can't serve him the way I really want to, because if I did, then I couldn't afford this. I couldn't afford that. I couldn't have this, couldn't have that. God supplied everything that they needed in order to serve him. You know what? I'm not the richest man, physically speaking, on this earth by any means. But I have riches in glory that no man can ever take away. And you know what? I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for it. This may sound stupid to you all, but I was praying this week. I've been busy. I mowed the grass Monday. I didn't want to have to mow the grass again this week. And it has been so hot, the grass has not grown. It's just been plain and even. I took Precious out this morning. I said, look at that, sweetheart. How God has blessed Daddy's request to just keep the grass where I did not have to mow it this next week. I didn't want to have to do this again. But you know what God did last night? God sent rain. He sent rain. We needed rain. We asked the Lord for rain. And you know what? God sent the rain. Why? Because I want my well to stay wet. Amen. God sent the rain. And I thought last night how good God has been to hear my feeble prayers, to hear those things that we request of Him, and He has supplied our every need. And look at this. God gave each of them not only what they needed physically upon this earth, but God gave each of them a new heart for others. You know what? That's what we need today. We need a new heart for others. Not just for our own needs, not just for ourselves, but we need to see others either going to heaven or going to hell. Look what the Bible said in verses 36 and 37. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He had great fortune. God had blessed him in a great way, but he gave it to the Lord so that it could be used to help others. Folks, when God's saving grace gets a hold of our heart, God's enabling grace gives us a heart for the ministry of reaching people. You don't have to be a full-time evangelist or a full-time teacher or whatever, pastor, preacher, to be in full-time service for the Lord, because God enables us to be His witnesses anywhere and everywhere we go. Let's seek not only God's saving grace, but God's enabling grace, so that we might be the witnesses for Him that we need to be. Our country needs it. Our people need it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love You today. And I'm thankful, so much thankful, God, for Your saving grace. But Lord, now since salvation, I'm so thankful for Your enabling grace that gives us strength to be able to live for You, to serve You, to be a witness for You. And Lord, I pray, God, today that You will help us to ask for that enabling grace, that we might speak boldly the Word of God in all that we do and say. Lord, help us, God, to have a love for others and a desire to see others come to know You as their Savior. I pray, God, that You'll bless the words I've spoken this morning. Be with Pastor Howell now, Lord, as he stands to preach this morning, and Pastor Comstock again this evening. And Father, we'll ask You, God, to give them strength and wisdom, to give us what we need to hear, and help our hearts to be receptive. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you. Thank you for being in Sunday school this morning.